Welcome to the Sunday night There is a Solution newcomer and returning members meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Visit our website at oaontario.org, where you'll find this audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. We will now introduce our speaker, a member who has at least 6 months of abstinence, has recovered through the directions in the Big Book, and maintains recovery on a daily basis. After the share, there will be time to make a comment or ask a question about the OA program or what the speaker has shared. Please join me in welcoming Eric G., a compulsive overeater.
Hi, everybody. My name's Eric G., and I am a compulsive overeater, and I'm really grateful to be here tonight.
So it looks like you're muted.
How's that? Does that sound better?
Much better.
Hi, everybody. My name is Eric G. I'm a compulsive overeater. Grateful to be here tonight. The topic of the steps is definitely something that is touched upon a lot in my recovery. Although I don't think about it too much, it's just become kind of a second nature, you know. When I first came into these rooms back in 1981, I was just a child, and I was looking for, at that time, another diet and calories club to cure me. Because what I understood as a child, if you're thin, you're happy, you know, and there's no debating that. And so I needed to be thin so that I can be happy. And so that was always my goal. And coming to Overeaters Anonymous, I was disappointed, actually. Didn't seem like anybody was like-minded there. Nobody, you know, it didn't seem like it was about the food or the weight at all. You know, there was something different, something spiritual in nature. And I didn't understand any of that, you know, just a kid. And so, and I left, and I didn't want to ever come back here and, to Overeaters Anonymous, but I did come back. I came back in 1985. And I was in an eating disorders treatment facility, you know, in, they took us to meetings every single day of the week, and I was able to hear the message a little more clearly. And the message that I took away from that was, you know, definitely to invest in these steps and traditions, concepts, and tools through working with the sponsor, you know, by working with the sponsor. And so apparently you call up some stranger that you meet at these face-to-face meetings, because we didn't do Zoom or phone back then, but, you know, you call them up, would you sponsor me? And that person apparently takes you through the steps and helps you understand how to implement a program of action through those steps. And so I thought to myself, nope, absolutely not. Number one, I don't like to be told what to do. Number two, I'm pretty sure I can figure this thing out. I'm a pretty smart guy. So, you know, just give me your literature. Thank you very much, and I will be on my way. And that's the attitude that I had fostered for many years. I just assumed that I can figure whatever it is out, figure out the diet, figure out the routine. And you know, when I was in the sober living for eating disorders, as it were, you know, they actually took us through the first step. I was exposed to it there without even having a sponsor. You know, they got the concept and they brought it to the place, and they showed us what to do. And it was actually really good. You know, I thoroughly enjoyed, you know, that type of work on me, and also, you know, coming to terms with the fact that I'm perhaps powerless. You know, it kind of blew my mind a little. I'm powerless. And I kind of, as a kid, I just thought, well, then it's not my fault. If it's not my fault, then, you know, then whose fault is it? And so, yeah, that was my first, you know, semi-experience of working any step whatsoever. And
sorry, Eric, it looks like you got muted again.
It was not something, I was talking about step one. It was not something I was interested in continuing. You know, it was good that I went through that. I like the experience. I like the ideology behind it, you know, but I was not interested in continuing on with that. And so I didn't get a sponsor, you know, and I just kind of, I came to meetings and I hung out with the kids back then. There was a lot of teenagers back then like myself. And, you know, they had a lot of functions where we got together, dances and stuff like that. And so I engaged in that part of Overeaters Anonymous, which, by the way, is perfectly fine. It turns out you don't have to get a sponsor to be welcome here. The only requirement for OA membership is an honest desire to stop eating compulsively, which is our third tradition. But apart from that, yeah, I came and went as I pleased, which is perfectly fine. I was not ready to get a sponsor, also fine. There's nothing wrong with that at all, it turns out, you know. But that was all I was willing to do. Sometimes I come to meetings and sometimes I won it. And that was pretty much the extent of my program. And I called that recovery and I called that abstinence. You know, when I was on a diet for a period of time, I was, well, I'm on a good abstinence and I'm losing weight. You know, because again, since I didn't know anything about the steps, I just held on to that diet mentality, that diet ideology where, you know, it's all about the food and it's all about the weight. And if you can control those things or maintain it somehow, your life is going to improve tenfold, obviously, you know. And I couldn't be more wrong, obviously, but, you know, I didn't know that at the time. And I just kept on coming and going. And I didn't really work this program, not really, until 1994, which I think was a perfect year to embark on the road to recovery by working the steps with the sponsor, you know. And so we picked up this this big book, and we read it together. And when we came to a step, there was an assignment attached to that step. You know, this is step one. We're going to work on step one. The minute we were powerless over food, their lives had become unmanageable. And then there was an assignment to that, you know, write down 15 reasons why my life has become unmanageable as a result of food. Do that. Read that back to me. Step one, done. Let's go on to step two. Step two, came to believe in a power greater than ourselves that could restore us to sanity, you know. And so there was assignment to that. And each time that we did this, it was, I gotta be honest with you, it felt really good. It felt really good to, gosh, I don't know, just to be talking to somebody else and really understanding what this program is all about. You know, it felt really good. And I felt good, you know, that type of feeling that couldn't really put a finger on, because I thought feeling good was, you know, like when you reward yourself with food, you know, or you comfort yourself also with food. It turns out, you know, and so I was inspired to continue on because I wasn't losing weight, mind you. It's like we worked step one. I didn't lose 50 pounds because I worked. No, it wasn't like that. I just felt good, you know, mentally, spiritually, and also physically too. Even though I didn't lose any weight, it's just like I felt better by just this relationship that I had formed with this person called sponsor. You know, and I didn't really have a connection with the higher power at that time, or maybe I didn't. I didn't know it because I was, you know, obviously taking contrary action. You know, it's not in my nature to ask for help and then, you know, actually follow the direction that's been given. No. But in this case, it just made sense and it felt really good. So I continued on, you know, whatever this man asked of me, I would say yes. You know, we even talked about other things like my finances. You know, I had a bunch of credit cards and I was in debt, you know, so we had this moment where I went to his house and he said, bring all your credit cards. And then magically, I don't know where he got this from, but like scissors appeared. And we started cutting up all of these credit cards that I had. And he had me keep one. And then he said, I want you to, you know, call up these bankers and I want you to cancel these credit cards. And I want you to just focus on this one and pay down your debt and just anything that was causing me misery. You know, as the big book says, avoid then the deliberate manufacture of your misery. And so he was helping me to do that, you know, to clean up the wreckage of my past. And so that I can, you know, really dive into the steps and apply the steps to my life on a daily basis. And because there's, you know, there's, I brought in a lot of baggage, you know, I brought in a lot of, you know, physical, emotional, spiritual, you know, bankruptcy to the table. And so we had to unpack a lot of stuff and then release that by working the steps, you know. And step three, it was funny. It says, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. And he asked me what that means to me. And so I went off, I just waxed philosophic on that. And he listened while I was talking and he just stopped and he goes, okay, no, that's not it. Making a decision to turn your will and your life over to the care of God is just that. You're just making a decision at this point. You know, and there, you know, we got down on our knees and we read from the big book, the third step prayer together, and very profound spiritual experience, by the way, especially since we did it in the parking lot of a Hof's Hut restaurant. I don't know if anybody knows what Hof's Hut is. It's probably not in existence anymore. But anyways, that's just where we were and that's where we did it. And it was fantastic, you know. And then embarking on that fourth step inventory, it wasn't the big bag monster that I thought it would be. You know, I heard so many horror stories, or it seemed like horror stories to me about the fourth step. But it's too hard and I procrastinate and I, you know, blah, 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 blah. It's just information. It's just like filling out, you know, a document that has, this is my name and my address. I mean, this is information that I already know. It's just that with the help of a sponsor, we're now putting that information on a paper and then we're going to talk about that. You know, we're going to do something with it. And I've been holding in this stuff for such a long time. I didn't know how impactful a four step would be. And it was only 15 minutes a day. You know, you could set an egg timer and do 15 minutes and then just stop. And so he also had a little caveat, or, you know, a little way of, I don't know, about him when it comes to the way he sponsors. His style of sponsorship was do the assignment by a certain date or find yourself another sponsor, which probably isn't a good thing for everyone, you know. But I don't think it was a mistake that God led me to this man, you know, because you give me an inch and I'll take a mile. You know, oh, take your time, Eric. Oh, take my time. Cool. Then never finish the assignment. Awesome. Yes, that sounds great. You know, I'll get back to that exactly never time ever. And so, yeah, that was very helpful. And we got through that four step inventory. And then we moved on, you know, we moved on to the fifth step, which I knew what was coming, even though I never worked the steps. I understood that you're going to give away this inventory in your fifth step. And I was actually kind of looking forward to that. I actually did a preemptive strike on that. There were some things that I was really afraid of, and I shared it with my sponsor, things that I thought I'd take to my grave, you know, things that were really promoting, uplifting, and strengthening my disease. And I went to his house and I shared these things with him, and I started crying because I thought, you know, all right, this is it. He's not going to ever want me to be around him. And he was all calm and collect. He was just so, so serene. And he's just like, you know what? What else you got? I'm like, seriously? But yeah, he was so cool. He's like, yeah, I understand that you've gone through a lot and you've done a lot of things. You feel bad about things that you've done or said or didn't say or didn't do, whatever the case may be. And let's move on, you know, let's just move on. And so, I mean, that was at that moment in my life, that was one of my favorite days. You know, I just felt like there was so much lifted. I was overwhelmed. I was filled with gratitude. I left when I left that man's house that night, I was like, oh my gosh, I felt so light. I felt like I had lost 500 pounds, you know, just, oh my gosh. And I didn't have to pay for that, by the way. I didn't give this guy any money. I didn't sign a contract. I didn't make a promise, you know. I just got a sponsor and I followed direction. It's a game changer. And I never lived my life that way. I've always lived my life at such a degree of difficulty that it was ridiculous. You know, like if you're playing tennis with me and you're just hitting the ball and I'm running all over the damn court. That's how I live my life. I always make things very, very difficult. And this isn't that way. The fourth step isn't difficult. It's just 15 minutes a day. The fifth step isn't difficult. I sit down at night and I read information to my sponsor, you know, and he might stop me and say, hey, let's talk about this, or let's put a star next to that. And let's get back to that later. And it was effortless. And it continued to improve on me. And as far as my relationship with myself, my relationship with my higher power, and the relationship with people in my life, you know, which if you think about it, what does that have to do with food or weight? Nothing. Nothing at all. It's like everything in this program, it has nothing to do with food or weight. I didn't work on that. I worked on the way I think, the way I act, the way I behave, you know, and with the sponsor's help, there was structure, there was accountability, there was discipline in a way that I could have never brought to the table on my own. You know, I know how to make things worse. I know how to isolate. I know how to compulsively overeat. Thank you very much, but I don't need your assistance. In that department, I excel. But with structure and accountability and discipline, that eludes me on a regular basis without the help of a sponsor, even to this day, you know. Even to this day, I have the same structure and accountability and discipline that I still have, that same foundation that I started with back when I started with my sponsor. My current sponsor so many years ago. And, you know, it fortifies that connection with my higher power. And with that connection, I'm able to do miraculous things like, you know, take contrary action on a daily basis. Contrary action, contrary to my nature as a person that has a disease, you know, because I think it's a good idea to isolate and compulsively overeat. I'm just not doing that for today because of that relationship, you know, because those steps that I've worked with my sponsor have now become a part of my daily routine. It's second nature, you know. Even with my children, I raise my voice and immediately I'm like, uh-oh, I have two choices in this moment. I can apologize or I can obsess about food. Son, I am sorry. I raise my voice. You know, I have to swallow my pride sometimes and realize my situation and how dire it is to, you know, let go of the steps, to put them aside for, you know, for vanity, for ego, whatever the case may be. And it's important, you know, that I continue on this path and on this journey, because I'm not like a lot of my brothers and sisters in fellowship. I'm more of a skid row junkie, bottom feeding type compulsive overeater. You know, you might not see it right now, but when I came back to OA in 2005, I was 540 pounds, you know, and I was still gaining weight. I've always been jealous of those in program that have maybe 50 pounds to lose, you know, ever. Like that's like, you know what I mean? Like they've maintained an unhealthy weight here. I've never been able to do that. It just, mine is just, you know, I got to a point where I was talking to a friend in program years ago. I says, there's nothing on the big and tall catalog that'll fit anymore. And then he joked and he says, well, you know, you can buy a tent and just, you know, cut out your size and then we can sew that up. And, you know, he was making a joke that really hurt, by the way. And I also thought maybe it's not a bad idea because you can't go out of the house without clothes on, you know, and it was getting worse and worse and worse for me. So, you know, it's important. I don't know how else it's important. The steps are important absolutely. They're important and they're useless without a sponsor for me. You know, it's just a bunch of words pushed together to make sentences, and those sentences, you know, then get pushed together into paragraphs, and these paragraphs become pages, and it's just a book, and it means nothing. It's for, to me, without that connection called sponsor, you know, because without that is, you know, I'm going to learn a thing, but I'll never apply it. I'll never do what the book is asking me to do, is which is to make this a program of action, you know? And so I continued to work these steps with my first sponsor. You know, we worked on the six steps. We were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. And we worked on the seventh step, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings, you know, and all these things didn't make sense to me, didn't have to make sense to me. The assignments that I was given, I didn't always understand, you know, but I followed the direction anyways, in spite of myself. And I also didn't agree with the direction that was given to me, you know, but my sponsor never asked me to do something, you know, I don't know if anybody's ever heard of the 13th step, but he never did that. 13th step is like when you call your sponsee and you say, hey, come on over and wash my car. Also, I need to borrow some money from you. You know, that's 13th step. Or also, you know, if you're sponsoring somebody that you're attracted to, we're going to have to start date. That's also 13th step. So if you ever get in those situations where you hear anything about 13th step, don't do that. That's not one of our steps. But he never asked that of me, you know. When I say I disagree, I just, you know, I disagree in a way that would like not benefit me. I disagree because I want to have a little wiggle room so that I can wiggle my way back into my disease, back into isolation and compulsive overeating, which is always where everything leads for me. It's always back to the same thing, always isolation and compulsively overeating. And so we're getting to the eighth step now, and the eighth step was real simple, you know, made a list of persons we had harmed, became willing to make amends to them all, because he took that information from my four-step inventory. We started I started making little notes, or, you know, make a little stars, and those notes and stars are what I, you know, filled up my eighth step with, you know, and so that we can go back and, you know, work on that. And so that was just kind of, we zipped on through that, you know. It was really, really great. But I find that most of the steps were that way. And then perhaps too, I was in that mindset where I was willing to go to any lengths for my recovery. So it really didn't matter what the man asked me to do. You know, I was feeling good. And especially by the time we got to my eighth step, I was feeling really good. I mean, I had a new grasp on life, and I started losing weight too. You know, we started working on that, and it was fantastic. It was fantastic, you know. And then we got to that ninth step, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure others. Manischewitz, I really should have read that a few more times. So what happened was we were having a conversation, my sponsor and I were having a conversation about making amends. And we were talking about a situation with an ex-girlfriend of mine. And he says, and I mentioned what had happened, and it involved her family and all this stuff. And he goes, well, you're gonna have to make amends for that. And it was Christmas time. And without talking to my sponsor first, write that down. Without talking to my sponsor first, I went and made amends. And because I didn't talk to my sponsor, I didn't go through the proper course of action with him and didn't pray about it, I was just like, I'm just going to do this. My sponsor said, just do it. I'm going to go do it right now. Get it out of the way. Because of that, I ended a lifelong relationship with my ex-girlfriend's mother, who was a friend of my family since I was born, actually. You know, she'd always been around. I made amends to her on Christmas Day. I pulled her off the Christmas table to make amends for, you know, the way I treated her daughter during, you know, the time that we were in a relationship together. And I thought everything was okay, but it turns out that she was very offended by that, as was her husband. And so our relationship shifted, and I lost that relationship. It's never actually mended, you know, and, So what have we learned, boys and girls? We run it by our sponsor first. Yes, please. I strongly encourage you to do that. Because there's more to it than just, making the amends. There's preparation for that. And sometimes it's best not to make amends at all. You know, sometimes it's best just to perhaps write a letter and give it to your higher power, you know, because it's important to not, make an amends at the expense of the person you're making amends to. If what you're bringing up is going to hurt them, then that's not the proper course. And a sponsor will guide you through that, you know. And so aside from that, I was able to make amends and I got through a lot of stuff. It was so fantastic. You know, there was just, it really helped me as a person, as a man, as a member of OA to really grasp this idea of amends and the importance and the relevance of this on a regular basis, but also to begin to let go of these things that had been tethering me to my disease for such a long time. Thank you so much. And so we continued on, you know, this is amazing. You know, I was able to let go of so much. And it was such a huge relief. And again, what does this have to do with food or weight? Nothing at all. It turns out God really doesn't care what I look like or what I weigh. Doesn't care about any of that stuff. You know, it makes me think about God a lot when I'm on that step, and you know, what he really, really cares about for me and for others. And it doesn't seem to be in line with what I've always thought was important and relevant. You know, more money, status, ego, things. He seems to not care about any of that stuff. You know, he wants me to work on myself and heal so that I can, you know, be a good person to other people, you know, to carry his message, not by saying you should believe in God. No, just by being a good person, you know, treating. I'm sorry.
Four more minutes.
Thank you. Treating others with respect and decency, you know, but starting with me, you know, start to treat myself with respect and decency so that I can bring something to the table other than trying to always take. And it was just, you know, it just amazing. It's amazing how everything has changed. My attitude, my behavior, my outlook, my belief system. You know, and I'm still working on it. I haven't achieved sainthood yet. I probably never will. I don't think OA is cranking out a bunch of saints, but I do see improvements, vast improvements in myself and others. And I, you know, I'm attracted to that very much so. You know, in my step 10, I love step 10 because there's continuity to this. And, you know, there's no graduation here. There's no cure for this thing of ours, as it says in the big book. What we have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our fit spiritual condition. You know, and step 10 helps me to do that, you know, continue to take personal inventory. And when I was wrong, promptly admitted it. Not if you were wrong, your percentage could be like 1% is your fault. 99% is my fault. You know, I'm not eating over yours, I'm eating over mine. It could be reversed too. Mine could be 1% and yours is 99%. I'm still eating over what I did. That's the thing that, again, is strengthening and building and uplifting my disease is my part. And my part is what I need to work on. You know, you could be wrong or right, whatever. It's not really relevant here. I need to work on me, you know, and step 10 definitely, you know, solidifies that. And I love step 11 too. Because it talks about prayer and meditation in a way that is applicable, you know. And I still pray and meditate on a daily basis because I like to get centered. My first sponsor had me do that. He'd always say, you know, we'd be rushing to a meeting because we might be late. And just before we get out of the truck, he's like, wait, stop. Let's breathe. All right, let's do the serenity prayer. Just one quick serenity prayer. All right, now let's go to the meeting, you know. In that one instance, that happened years ago, but I still think about that to this day. if I rush out right now, is it going to make that big of a difference? Is it that important? Is this life and death? Generally, it's not, you know, and I like taking a moment. And then step 12, having had a spiritual awakening, as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and practice these principles in all our affairs. That's a big ask. You know, it's a big ask because, again, it's contrary to my nature. But with the help of a sponsor, it's a lot more possible, you know. And I like to be of help to other people. And I'm not an evangelist, but I definitely go out fishing sometimes. And what I mean by that is sometimes if I'm in a situation where I'm around somebody who I know is hurting, I'll start talking about myself very openly. You know, they'll say it could be having a conversation about anything, the weather. Oh, it's really hot today. And I'll say something like, well, I'm glad I don't have to carry a terry cloth towel with me anywhere I go. And they're like, what do you mean by that? Well, when I was 540 pounds, I had to carry a towel with me because I was sweating all the time, even if I'm sitting down and comfortable. And they're like, you were? You weighed five? Wow, how'd you lose that much weight? And then I just reel in that fish. Oh, this is a good one. Yeah. Because it's your fault for asking. Now I'm going to tell you everything, you know? And so, yeah, this has just been a great reminder of how important the steps are to me. I'm so grateful that I was able to share with you today. And I just want to say too, that if anybody out there is new, or if you're struggling with any of the stuff, or none of it made any sense, it's totally fine. If you're curious to whether or not you should be here, guess what? You are here. So likely you found the right place. It's not by chance that we come to one of these places to seek out help. And when you're ready to do this thing, I would highly recommend getting a sponsor and following direction. You know, I've been doing this. I've been back in program since 2005. I've given away 352 pounds. And I maintain this relationship with my higher power through this whole process. And my life, you know, has improved immensely and continues to do so on a daily basis. And, you know, there's no gurus or VIPs. There's no winners or losers here. You're not failing if you're compulsively overeating. Even if you're on the phone or on Zoom with me right now, you got your camera off and you have food in your mouth, it's fine. We're compulsive overeaters. We're normal compulsive overeaters. You know, it's normal behavior for us. It would be abnormal if we weren't compulsively overeating to survive the day, you know, but there's a different way to survive. There's a different way to thrive, actually. And that's by getting a sponsor and following direction. And then all these things that we talk about, the steps and the traditions and the tools and the concepts and the principles, they all come together and they mean something. And it actually becomes something that's a part of your action routine for the day, you know. And on your way to recovery, your sponsor will solidify that relationship with your higher power, you know, whatever that means. You don't have to believe in God, or you can believe in God, whatever you want. Just follow your sponsor's direction and it'll all work itself out. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Eric.